Since yesterday was the feast of the conversion of St. Paul, and next week we're having the World Day of Prayer for a consecrated life, that is, for those men and women who belong to religious orders, taking vows of poverty, chastity, and obedience, thought it might be good this weekend, since, as the Lord says to the apostles that he called, I'm calling you to be fishers of men, that we would talk about vocations to the priesthood. A few years ago, the Archdiocese of New York came out with a DVD entitled Fishers of Men. It's a promotional DVD that's aimed at encouraging young Catholic men to consider and pray about vocations to the Holy Priesthood. And you can actually YouTube this or Google it on YouTube and see the video. It's on there. When it comes to vocations, obviously numbers are important. Okay, the quantity is important, but even more important than that is quality. That what we're looking for are good, sound, intelligent, capable candidates with good moral and spiritual foundations. That is, those who would have a good character that would show them as being worthy of holy orders. Since the 1960s, there's been a much stronger educational and formational program to help to educate and form these young men as they go into the priesthood. Many candidates are called to holy orders, we know that, but not every priest is called to be a pastor. Obviously, pastors in parishes are what's needed most, but there's also a need for priests to serve in capacities such as chaplains, chaplains in hospitals, chaplains in the military, that's really a great need, and of course, university chaplains. Many priests serve as teachers and professors, as counselors, or they have specialized work in church administration, like those who work with vocations or with canon law. Bishops, of course, see that the needs of the parishes must be taken care of first, but these other areas of ministry are, I would say, equally important. So, with all that said, why should a young man consider the possibility of priesthood anyway? If we were to go by the message of what popular culture tells us, then priests are almost like an obsolete commodity, something that we don't need anymore. It's an outdated institution. After all, when you see priests on TV or in the movies, they seem to be kind of out of touch. You look at us in the news and you think, well, they're kind of strange and kooky people. Or even worse, we're portrayed as perverted child abusers. Others are seen as simply money-hungry or power-hungry sissies. Now, don't get me wrong. There are some pretty bad apples in the bunch that happen to fall through the cracks sometimes, but the history of the church, past and present, tells us that there are far more examples of courageous and heroic men who gave the entirety of their lives, some of them even unto death, for the church, for the gospel. Those who come in for the wrong reasons, I promise you, will be taken care of by God in one way or another. But anyway, we have this bad image that the priest gets from time to time. Then there's the fact that you look at the reality of priesthood. That the fact that you go to school just as long as a doctor or a lawyer would, but you get paid less than a teacher, sometimes paid less than a janitor. You don't get to choose where you're going to live and serve. You kind of let go, actually. You ask to forsake the possibility of having a wife and children. You have to deal with the public, which can be kind of taxing sometimes. You have to worry about buildings. You have to worry about repairs. You have to worry about finances, and none of which belongs to you. It's not yours at all, but belongs to the parish. And, of course, you have to change your own personal plans a lot to meet the needs of the church. Emergencies come up, deaths occur, there might be the sickness of another priest who needs your help. And then, of course, you're always in the public eye. People see everything that you do and talk about it, true or untrue. So really, a priest does not have his own life. That's what it is. A priest is not his own. In the priesthood, there's no place at all for selfish ambition. There's no place for personal wealth or acquiring personal property. Sadly, some priests have attempted to do that, and those who have brought shame upon themselves, and I promise you, will feel God's displeasure. So, why do it? Why consider it? Why go into it? Why do I do it? Quite honestly, It's because no one else in the world, no one else in the world can do all that a priest does. And there is nothing else in this world, nothing more important in the entire universe than the work of a priest. A priest, like the apostles and those that they ordained for the past 2,000 years, continue to do what Jesus Christ himself has done. That the priest acts in the person of Christ the head, at the altar, in the confessional, dispensing the sacraments, whenever he is there preaching and teaching to the people that it's Christ who works through the priest. He does what Christ has done to prepare the world for Christ's return. It's a big job. And for that, a priest must be a man of prayer. Look at the things that happen day to day that you get to see. A priest releases a person's soul from the grip of Satan, from the grip of sin, in the sacraments of baptism and reconciliation. In baptism, he makes that soul the child of God. In confession, a priest restores a person's soul and brings them back into God's graces. At the altar, a priest calls down the Holy Spirit and changes ordinary bread and wine into the body, blood, soul, and divinity of Christ. The living presence of Christ comes so that the priest can unite all members of Christ's body, the church, more closely to Christ himself, its head, through the power of the Eucharist. A priest unites a man and woman in the life-giving bond of holy matrimony, and the children born from that grace-filled union by the priest are made sharers in the mystery of Christ, beginning with baptism, being brought into the body of Christ. A priest prepares souls to depart from this world, and through his prayers and his masses, a priest conducts the souls of the deceased into eternal life with the Blessed Trinity, with the angels and the saints. A priest anoints the sick that they might be healed, physically, certainly spiritually. He buries the dead, he comforts the sorrowful, he counsels the doubtful. A priest teaches, he preaches, he points the way of truth and life that leads human beings to God. I've had the opportunity, by God's grace, to help to talk people out of suicide. I've had to be there to tell parents that their son or daughter had, through an accident or other means, been brought to God. It can be very difficult sometimes, emotionally and spiritually, but the grace of God certainly is always there. Priests are there to relieve the sufferings of the poor. They're there to work for peace among people. They're there to work for justice and for human beings' God-given human rights, and should be at the forefront of doing that. Many people love us. Lots of people hate us. Some could care less one way or the other. But there's one fact that I've noticed. Priests are not ignored. They're never ignored. A priest has heard the call of the Master, as the apostles did. Come, and I will make you fishers of men. And that's what we do, to bring human beings into the fold, to bring them to Christ, and to bring Christ to them. So a priest is compelled by the love of Christ to do whatever he tells us. In looking at Ville Platte, I can tell you this much. This town can be very proud indeed, of the number of priests that is given to the church. Two just from this parish alone, and we've only been in existence for about 40 somewhat years, maybe 45 years, and two priests already. That's a lot in that span of time. And of course, there's going to be more. As a church, as a community, your support and your love for priests and seminarians is obvious, and that's a good thing. There are some young men in our parish, I can tell you, who are seriously looking into seminary after going to high school. I know of one right now from Sacred Heart Parish who has been accepted to enter the seminary after graduation this year. So it's a good sign. It's a good sign of a vibrant faith here in our community. So I'll ask you to continue to pray for and to encourage young men to follow God's call. One question I get a lot is, well, if I go to the seminary, do I have to become a priest? Well, obviously not. The seminary isn't a place where you sign on the dotted line and you're kind of kept in there. The seminary is a place of discernment where a young man feels he has a call to hold the orders. He goes to the seminary to test it out. And during that time, he might realize this isn't for him. Lots of guys have done that, and when they leave the seminary, they come back to do other means of work for the church. Great work sometimes. Some even become deacons. So a practical way, too, is to encourage your sons, your grandsons, to become altar servers. Most priests did serve at the altar, and that's an intimate way of them seeing exactly what the priest does, the most important thing he does, by being there at the altar with him and celebrating the sacrifice of the Mass. With that, too, pray for those who are struggling with the decision. Young men right now who kind of are torn between what they want to do, to become married or to give their lives to the priesthood. There are some young men in seminary who struggle with their family's opposition, too. So keep them in mind in your prayers. When it comes to priests, pray for us. Pray for the priest who baptized you, for the priest who heard your first confession, for those priests who heard your confessions ever since, those who gave you your first communion, and of course those who have given you the Eucharist ever since, those who married you, those who have buried members of your family. Keep them all in mind, especially those who are struggling. Lots of priests who struggle with personal weaknesses and, of course, temptation. Remember that we're still human beings in every way of the word, but with that, God has called us to a supernatural task. And sometimes, as Jesus says in the gospel, strike the shepherd and the sheep will be dispersed. So we're usually the first ones that the devil wants to go after. So keep us in mind that God can make us and those who come after us, as Jesus wants us to be, lights who are shining in the darkness, fishers of men, bringing in a great catch into God's fold.